It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we are back talking about Big Brother Canada 5, recapping the first eviction in the Big Brother Odyssey with some good pals of mine. First is a man who we are having on the Happy Hour, I believe, officially for the first time. You know him from Big Brother Canada 4. He is Taryn Armstrong's hero in life. It is the great Mitch Moffitt, ladies and gentlemen. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you guys very much for having me. I'm pumped to be part of this team now, in a way, like to the live feeds and stuff. I haven't had a chance to do it in a long time. I didn't watch really these American seasons, so it feels exciting to be back in the Big Brother game.
It's exciting to have you here, Mitch, and have you aboard. This is a really good point. It's I think you're going to be – I'm excited to have you off the show. I would have loved to see you on this season, Mitch, but I'm excited to have you with us because I think you're going to give us some great analysis on this podcast and just throughout the season in general. So happy to have you aboard. Next on the panel is a man who wants to fire me and replace me with Willa McDonald. It is Taryn Armstrong, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, no.
Taryn, how are you?
Oh, no, he listened to that podcast.
Oh, I listened. As soon as it was done, I was driving to school this morning. I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this podcast. The rest I missed. As soon as I'm off it, Taryn's like, yeah, guys, let's get rid of Jordan and replace him with Willow. Willow is very good, by the way.
So can you really blame me? Wouldn't you make the same choice?
No, I mean, to be honest, I probably would. Willow's very good. I love Willow. She's awesome. So it's all good, Taryn. But how are you? You got to be super excited. Your circuits, they're getting pumped up.
I'm giddy, Jordan. We have Mitch on the podcast. I couldn't be anything other than giddy.
What's more exciting, having Mitch on the podcast or the live feeds being back?
Having Mitch on the podcast.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
this is Big Brother Canada.
Oh, Big Brother Canada.
We just saw Netta get half of her game just like wiped away. So I'm super happy about that.
Well, we will get into that. And next is a man who I just don't really have anything to say to. We just have been very passive aggressive towards each other lately. But I just want you to know I love him very much. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Screw you, Jordan. No, I'm just kidding. I'm doing well. I'm excited. Excited because Mitch is here. Excited because feeds are back. There's a lot to be excited about. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. This is going to be a fun podcast, guys. Just to set things up for you guys, if you are new to the show, welcome. Thank you for coming aboard. We appreciate it. Not the BB Can Odyssey. Maybe we'll call this the Happy Hour Odyssey. I don't know what we're going to call it this season. But we've got the chat room going on robiswebsite.com. If you want to chat with some people that are into this sort of thing about the episode and talking about the podcast and stuff. So if you want to go into the show page on robiswebsite.com, you can see that there. You can go to chatwing.com/happyhour to check that out. We are live on YouTube right now as well. So we're going to be taking your questions in the second half of the show. So if you want to get those in, you can tweet me. I am at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Happy Hour, and we will get into those later on in the show. We'll also be talking about the live feeds later on in the show. But for the first half, we're just going to be talking about the episode, what happened in the episode, in case there's some people out there who do not want to know the spoilers. Okay, so guys, let's just jump into this. Let's talk about there's a couple of really big headlines we can talk about in this episode. But Mark is evicted from the house. He's the first male in Big Brother Canada history to be voted out first. So that's kind of interesting. We have just a heads up for people listening to this. Rob Cesternino will be doing an exit interview with Mark tomorrow on the Reality TV Rahapups feed. So if you want to check that out, go to robiswebsite.com/Rahapups. But yeah, so Mark is out of the house. Mitch, what do you think about this idea that a guy like Mark, because I feel like we talked about this on our draft podcast, I feel like Mark was set up to do really, really well in this game and go very far, as this archetype usually does. What do you think the difference is in terms of him going home this season? Do you think it was just circumstance? Do you think it's him in particular? Why do you think he went home this week, Mitch?
I think it's a mix of both. Like, I think I'm sort of happy he was gone because he fills that archetype that I actually find uninteresting, but they always tend to do well. So, like, they always end up in the showmances, but they're always, like, not that outgoing, and they're kind of quiet, but they're decent at challenges. So, I mean, he had the challenges stuff against him because he just looks like a physical threat, which is kind of like a funny thing in Big Brother because I feel like so many of the challenges aren't actually, like, physically taxing that. Still, we look at like all these like buff guys and we're just like, oh, they must be so good at challenges, when mostly every challenge is just like stepping up a step and stepping down. Yet somehow it always goes back to that. But yeah, I feel like I wouldn't ever have guessed he'd be the first one. Both of those two would have been on the block, but I think it makes the game more interesting that, you know, it's like going to show that probably this season isn't going to follow the same set of rules that many others do. And because it's not even a full All-Stars, it probably won't follow the rules we think that would. It's like a really interesting mix of like a halfway between those two types of games. And I think none of us really know what that means totally.
Absolutely. We're in uncharted territory with this 8-on-8, especially with Canada. We haven't seen returnees before. The thing I wanted to ask you, Mitch, that I found really interesting was this whole vote situation. I think it's super rare, especially in a returnee season. We see the vote is 7-6, and it's not the vets versus the newbies. It's actually kind of a split in terms of just the whole house in general. So just to recap what the actual votes were, votes to evict Dimitri were Jackie, Dylan, Kevin, Emily, Dallas, and Bruno. And then the votes to evict Mark were Dre, Gary, Ika, William, Cass, Netta, and Cindy. So it looks like Gary and all the returning females are on the same page here, Mitch. So what do you think about this? Because I found that super fascinating. It's week one and the vets already are not working together.
Yeah, I think it was bound to happen because so many of them, they're back for redemption, but some of them are going to overplay their game right up front because they feel like they need to prove themselves. And I mean, they did a good job picking them because like not many of them are like close friends and some of them have weird history and past. I think it's interesting. It not only does it make for a more exciting show when it's a split vote so early, I think I'm curious to know if that was intentional on someone's part. Because I feel like in my season, I was like, I want split votes. No one stands to gain, or I don't stand to gain from an even vote where everyone feels safe and there's no line drawn and you can't play off of that. Whereas a split vote, people can use that to their advantage. I don't know, like, yeah, it would be interesting to know if somebody was like, hey, we actually don't want to tell those people because we want there to be a line of those are the people who voted against you and we're the people that are with you, which I think is a smart strategy if you can do it in a way that doesn't look like you're the one who did it.
Right.
Then you just don't get given credit on TV when that happens.
Yeah, we know that. Sorry, Mitch. Unfortunate. So, yeah, I mean, Taryn, talk to me about this eviction because, for me, I don't know what it is. Like, what was more surprising for you, the fact that it was Mark that went out or the fact that it was this split so early?
I was definitely surprised about the split. You look at Mark, you look at Dimitri. I sort of said preseason that, you know, while Mark is the kind of person that would typically last pretty long, veterans are more aware of that fact and they're going to look at him as somebody like, you know, he's the kind of person that's going to last kind of long. Maybe we don't want him around. And so it definitely seemed like that was part of the case. I assume we're getting to feeds what little of it we've seen later.
Yes, later. Later.
Yes.
Later.
So yeah, I mean, that was very surprising. And I like when we saw the first five votes to one, I think it was, were for Dimitri. I was like, Dimitri's done. He couldn't be any other way. But then we saw the other vets swing the other way. And I was totally shocked.
Yeah, super, super exciting here, Alex Kidwell. How do you think this is going to go? I mean, the fact that we've got – so it looks like the dudes minus Gary, the vets at least, are on one side, and the girls are on the other side. Alex, how do you think this is going to play out?
Well, you know, I think it's too early to really say where lines are necessarily drawn. I don't know that we have enough information, certainly from the episodes, because they really did kind of usk through a lot of the strategic nuance that happens in between the ceremonies and the competitions for a lot of the episodes. There's a lot to get to in an hour. So, you know, just based on what we saw, yes, it's surprising and it's close and it's, you know, it's a narrow margin that seems like it kind of separates people. But I also feel like this was a bit of like just, you know, the vets still working together, but they had strong preferences of which pawn to keep for themselves to a degree. You know what I mean? Like, I think all the vets at this point have pretty well established that they're in control. And, you know, from what I saw, they mostly want to work with each other. I think Gary was the only one who really articulated, at least in the diary room, like, I don't really necessarily have any interest in working with the veterans per se. But all the rest seem like to understand the value of sticking together and to be trying to push that agenda. So I think, you know, it's interesting to see that they didn't vote together, but it also, I don't think, means that they're not going to come back together if they need to for a vote.
Mitch, I want to talk to you. Talking about the, Alex brings up this, you know, the lack of a lot of strategy in this episode. One thing we did see, though, was that clip of Cass manipulating Dimitri to get him to pick a fight with Dylan and to call him out. What did you think of that move on Cass's end?
I mean, I loved it. I was like, in that moment, I realized if Mark goes home or Dimitri stays, then this is Cass's doing. Not just because of that, but probably because of all the things we didn't see means that she's pushed for it. Whether or not she's pushed to obviously or not, we'll find out going forward. But in that episode, it was like, okay, this shows in some regards that Cass has a hold on some people, or she's played her move and she's gotten the result she wanted, which can be a good thing or a bad thing this early on. But yeah, I thought it was a pretty fascinating thing to – I think it was a good move for Cass, because I think she's a little bit of the odd duck in the returnees. She's from the most recent season, so she probably has had the least time with the other returnees, and she's probably going to need to rely on some of these people for that.
What is your take on Cass as a player? Because you're the only one in this panel who has played with her, so you've got a, you know, pretty good sense of her and her personality. How do you feel about Cass's chances in this game with these returning players? You did mention the fact that she may be on the outs a little bit, but I'm curious as to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Cass is an interesting player, and she definitely morphed over the course of her season, and my perception of her morphed a lot. So when I was in the house with her, I was just like, Cass is not a good player, because everyone is aware of what she's doing. So she would come up to me and be like, Mitch, I feel like we have a special connection and blah, blah, blah. And then I'd be like, I know you're going and telling everyone the same thing. Like, everyone would kind of be like, Cass says the same thing to me. But then after watching the season back and seeing the second half, I feel like she did actually get her footing, whether or not that was aided by Tim. Obviously, Tim was an amazing ally for her to have. And I hate having to give him credit for her work, because this is her chance now to show, like, you know what, maybe I didn't have my footing at the beginning then, but I got at the end, and now I can show you I have it. So I'm curious to see if Cass can pull through on this, because I recall seeing her as not a great player when I was there, and whether or not that will be, like, history repeating itself. And she almost went home with Tim's vote in my season. So I don't know. I'm just really curious about Cass to see how she'll do this season, based on my own perception, thinking she wasn't that great, but then seeing TV and being like, oh, maybe she actually did get really good at the end.
Right. How do you feel about Dallas, too? It's another guy you played with. And I thought, you know, Dallas had, in my opinion, I thought Dallas had a great night, because yeah, we barely saw him on the show. We only saw him doing his characteristic, his normal thing of Arista the Rocket. That same thing he does. Yeah. I can't do a Dallas impression, but, you know, he does
Arista the Rocket.
Yeah, that's not that good either, Alex. Good try.
Wait, just say Rocket.
that was.
He always has the
is that Canadian, or is that like specific to where Dallas is from to say Rocket like that?
Rocket?
Surely that is not Canadian.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just maybe it's an East Coast thing. I'm not 100% sure. But Mitch, what do you think about Dallas being back? Because I think a lot of us were surprised to see him on the show.
Oh yeah, me too. I think that because of that he could do well. I mean, Dallas is interesting, because I had a hard time with him in my house, not like out in the open, but I never really connected with him. But there were a lot of other people in our house that, despite my feelings for being like, how does anyone really get along with him? Like, a lot of people like really connected, because he is really rambunctious and tells really obnoxious jokes and whatever. But coming into this season, I was like, you know what? Often when we watch like Survivor returnee seasons, we see people who are kind of like, why are they on this season do so well? Because they have the least to live up to. People aren't really looking at them as major threats, and I feel like he will benefit from that. The problem, like, he'll probably find is, like, he just voted on the wrong side of the house right now, so...
Again, 2 years in a row, right?
Yeah, I was like, he must be having flashbacks right now, and it's, like, the 7-6 vote, you know what I mean? Like, it was just almost so... I mean, if he's smart, he'll be thinking, like, okay, how did I react last time to this, and what do I do different now? it certainly doesn't feel the exact same as last time, because he kind of was like, it was him versus Jared, or at least that's what was kind of like brewing. Whereas this time it doesn't feel like he's really the center of any of that, but it could become that. I'm not sure.
Taryn, how do you feel about Dallas's chances as your backup Bruno, like you said in the draft, preseason draft? Rob Cesternino said that Dallas is his pick now, because he's the backup Bruno.
Yeah, well, someone tweeted, you know, where is Dallas? And I said he's busy winning the season, because I really feel like, you know, he's not in a great spot right now. He was in the minority on this vote. You know, he could be in trouble with the vets. He could be in trouble with the new players. Who knows? But I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters if he's in trouble with anyone, because who's going to waste an HOH on Dallas if he's really just doing nothing? If he's doing nothing TV worthy, then I think he's going to get by. And I think he's going to be seen as a useful tool to pick up later in the game. And I feel like Dallas is in this for the long haul. And I think he's going to be underestimated, because I think that he's somebody that has potentially changed his demeanor in the game.
Alex, talk to me about Dimitri a little bit. What did you feel? How did you think about Dimitri and how he approached that whole Dylan situation that I was talking to Mitch about earlier? Just the like, what his method? What was what did he say? He's like, I want to just shut you up. That's what he said. Yeah, how did you feel about that, Alex?
Yeah, that was kind of, I felt it was pretty obvious that it was like just a ploy. Like it seemed like a ploy. It would seem fishy to me if I was watching it in the house. But at the same time, it was good TV. It was funny. It was really awkward, and it didn't really make any sense. But, I mean, you know, something worked. So we don't really know, because we don't have feeds, if that, like, allowed them to really spin a narrative where, like, he's going to go after Dylan, don't even worry about it, or what it was. But they swung the votes. I mean, Dimitri's, whatever, Dylan called him Dimitri's. Yeah. We still have no, like, clear verdict on this, because Dylan called him Dimitri's. But everyone else are calling him like Dimitri.
Cass,
so they don't even
Dimitris.
Know. Cass, so maybe it's Dimitri's.
Oh, wow.
But I think Arissa called him Dimitri. I
yeah.
So. Oh, okay.
Okay, Jordan.
So that's the official. So. Arissa does it.
Yeah, I guess we're not confused that Netta about Netta and Nita. So I guess we can go.
Nice to have Mitch's here tonight.
Oh man, Nita, gotta talk about Nita. We're gonna talk about Nita and the twist in a sec here, but I want to backtrack to before that. Mitch, talk to me about Karen. How did you feel about Karen? Do you watch Real Housewives of Orange County, Mitch? Because I've been saying all preseason that Karen is like Vicki Gunvalson from that show. Are you familiar?
I'm not. No, I don't watch that show.
Okay. Have you ever said that, Jordan? I don't remember you saying that ever.
That's the new Ginger Ninja. Okay, I'm going to say that every single episode. People are going to get very annoyed, and they're going to write hate mail and stuff about me on Reddit. It's going to be great. I can't wait. But Mitch, talk to me about Karen a little bit here. Super all over the place. I mean, she first nominates the two. Well, first she's like, I want to go after Kevin or Nita, and then Cindy, very impressively, manages to, you know, shift her focus and gets her focused on those two guys, Mark and Dimitri. But then she goes to the newbies and says, hey, I'm down to get rid of a backdoor vet. Like, this is what we're going to do. But then she's with Gary and Cass later and says, you guys, no wonder you guys didn't win the first time. You guys suck, all this stuff. So how soon is Karen going to be out of this house? And did you enjoy her?
Oh, I love Karen already. Like, I hope this continues. As a character, I love Karen. She's got great one-liners. She's hilarious. She's frantic, which makes a good character. Now that we have the feeds, it'll be interesting to actually see her in action and see if it is as frantic as the show. Because, like, this episode is like this, then this, then this, then this. And it's just jumping all over the place. And, you know, maybe she's not as good as she thinks she is at like trying to play the middle. It feels like because she was HOH, she was trying to like appease everybody and make them know like, hey, like, I don't really know what I'm going to do. So like, I think I'm with you guys, but I might do this. So I know she may get a bit of a bad rap right now, but I think she has potential. I actually don't think people will really go after her. I don't think Dimitri will go after her right now. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know what I mean? Like, in terms of, even though she nominated him, I can't see who goes after Karen right now, because there's a lot of other like boiling pots around the whole house, it seems.
Taryn, do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, well, last night I said that Karen has potential to be like a Paul Jackson, and I feel like she's close.
She's getting there, dude.
Yeah, I feel like she's like pretty close to a Paul Jackson. But if Paul Jackson had been taken in by like more experienced players who understood his value as a tool in the game, so we could see a lot of great stuff from Karen. I'm kind of excited about what we're gonna see.
Alex, I was incredibly impressed with Cindy's work with Karen and just Cindy in general in this episode. Am I wrong in thinking that Cindy, like, I perceive this as Cindy is like the captain of the newbie, or sorry, of the vets. She's the messiah of the veterans, Alex. Did you see it that way too?
I mean, she does seem to be a linchpin between a lot of the relationships, like maintaining kind of that working dynamic. And I think it is a testament to how many volatile personalities they put in there that, I mean, you know, we saw a scene where Aika made Cindy look downright reasonable. You know what I mean? Like, Cindy looks very rational and composed and logical. And you're just like, whoa, like Aika had to be working pretty hard to pull that one off. But it's good. I think, you know, certainly that scene with Karen, Cindy says it herself, like, well, that was a lot easier than I thought it would be. And I think, I don't know how much credit we can necessarily give her when she basically, Karen already was throwing out one newbie, which, I mean, it's just illogical. If you're eight new players, the only shot you have is to try to stick together at the beginning, I think. And there was not even really seemingly any discussion of really trying to make that happen. She was already thinking at least one new player. And so then she was like, well, and Cindy's like, well, no, not Nita. Stay away from Nita. She's like, oh, okay. Well, then two new players. And Cindy's like, yeah, that could work. You know, it's like, so on one hand, yes, I definitely want to say Cindy seems much improved for sure. But I'm not ready to like anoint her Danielle Reyes just yet either.
Yeah, it's still early, but a very, very strong showing from Cindy. I was very, very impressed. And I think that if she keeps this up, I think she's going to do pretty well in this game, Taryn.
Yeah, she's pretty much playing, you know, I don't want to say she's changed too much because I think she's playing pretty similarly to how she did in season 3, only this time she has a bit more credibility to back her up.
Yes.
So it's not falling flat like it did before. And what happened was last time it fell flat and she got flustered and that's when she made a lot of mistakes. So I'm not too optimistic about her chances moving forward because if something goes wrong, I don't think she necessarily has the tools to fix it. But in the meantime, I do think she's doing pretty well right now.
How did you feel about Cindy's performance, Mitch?
I liked it. I think now that, like, I didn't love her first go around, but I think she's even, like, actually thought about that maybe more than some of the other vets have who seem to kind of be carrying back in the same traits. And like you said, she seems a lot more comical and collected. Whether that lasts and whether she tries to be a bit more manipulative, or maybe the first time she, you know, she was all with her shtick, Cindy with an S. We didn't hear that once from her tonight. And I think that's a sign that she's like, you know what? I don't need this one perceived as a good player who's on this game. So that's my perception with the little information that we have. But I'd also like to say, I don't know about the newbies sticking together. I just feel like if you're a newbie and you try to make a newbie alliance, it's just a really offensive move. Compared to if you're a vet, it's a defensive move to be like, the vets have to stick together because they're going to want us out. So I would say if I was a newbie in this season, I would be the one who's like, take me, I'll do what you want. Like, I'm the person, I'm not trying to like coordinate anything. I'm not over strategizing because the vets can get away with strategizing immediately because that's what they're known for. But the newbies, if they strategize too soon and too openly, it comes off as like, oh, this is like someone who's trying hard. They stand out like a sore thumb. And so I think it is a better, it sucks that like the newbies just kind of have to submit to that, I think. But the vets, you know, you'd rather be their pawn in the beginning and wait till they start to crack and then just use that, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that the regulators are like one of the worst alliances ever because they all just went out in a row. I mean, like that kind of, it's like, it's no offense to them. It's just like when you get all the newbies together and you're all, well, not all of them, but most of the newbies together and you try to make this army, it's so hard to make it work because those vets just have an advantage. And, you know, if you're in that minority, odds are you're not going to make it super deep in the game. If you're Karen, buys her favor with the vets. And like you said, Mitch, I don't think she's really a threat to anybody right now. So I as much as, you know, a lot of people are like, bad move going after, you know, the two newbies at the start. I mean, for her, I think she's got to look out for number one, which is herself. So I'm excited to see how she maneuvers with things. Let's talk about the twist here, Mitch. I don't know, the time warp, whatever we want to call this, I guess, which Netta has won, which, by the way, when Orisa was on the when she first announced there was a twist, Netta looked like she was gonna die. Did you notice that, Mitch? Like, Netta was just
She was literally like it looked like her face was melting.
I was like, no, Netta, like, keep it together, you're getting this, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny. What do you think about this twist for Netta? Because I mean, this is it's great in that she's going to be around for a while, but I don't know if in terms of like her winning, you know, I know Taryn and Alex talked about this last night. I mean, it's definitely something that people can point to on her resume if she gets to the end of the game as a knock against her. So how do you feel about this for Netta?
For Netta, I mean, I don't think if she makes it all the way to the end, I don't think like her reputation already precedes her. Like, people know she's a good player, and I don't think it will hurt her. But as a twist, I hate it so much. Like, it's such a bad twist. It was almost like production was just being like, yes, we want to save a vet, and we're just not even going to try and hide it. We're just going to, you know what I mean? Like, the vets all have inbuilt audiences and other alumni who are going to push for them. Like, of course a newbie can't win this thing. It's to save a vet. And I thought at first, okay, there's going to be – Arista kind of made it sound like there might be a downside to it. Like, I was like, oh, maybe she has to, like, go into sequester until jury, or maybe didn't find out if she just had that power. And then when they tried to vote her out, they found out, because then it can't be used against her in the same way. But now she just has, like, this unlimited power in terms of she can be as aggressive as she wants, which is something that is really hard to do when you're in that house, because everyone shares everything you say. You have to be really subtle in the way that you actually talk to people, but she can literally go up to someone and say, like, I want this person out, and not be afraid that that person gets told and then everything gets flipped on her. So as much as I love that, I want her to do well, I'd almost just rather her do well without it. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather her go home if she can't do that well. You know what I mean? Like, I don't really get this twist, but whatever. I guess it's Big Brother Canada. What can you do?
Right. It's Big Brother Canada. This is what they're going to do and throw at us. I think I'm in the same boat, but I'm at the point in my life where I'm just like, acceptance, you know, this is what we're going to get. I'm just going to accept. These are the twists we're going to have to deal with. This is BB Ken. There's going to be some stuff. It's not fair, guys. I'm sorry if you're listening to this podcast. There's going to be times during the season where this happens again. Just prepare yourself. This is not a fair game, Taryn.
Well, this is an interesting one because normally the twist is like, oh, it's not fair, but at least it did something that probably most people like. But this is something that usually people dislike it if it does something they don't like. Like, when Mitch goes home because of the fake double eviction, mm-hmm. nobody likes that because everyone loves Mitch. And I'm not going to hear otherwise. But this is something that most people want, right? Like, most people want Netta in the game, but people are still annoyed at it because it's just not a good twist. Like, people want to see Netta in the game because they want to see Netta play the game. And Netta's not going to be playing the same game. You know what I mean? Like, this is an unbelievable power. Like, nobody can even say anything about Netta for like a good 5 weeks. She is going to be the center of any powerful anything in this house because she's the only one with concrete power. Like, always. It's like she's always HOH, basically. I think the idea that it's a disadvantage, I think it theoretically could be in a small sense, but I really don't think it will be. I think it's such a huge advantage. Any advantage it gives totally outweighs anything else. And I'm really upset that we're not going to be able to see Netta play like a full game, especially knowing that she wasn't really in trouble. She did manage to survive that first week pretty well. And she probably was in a decent position moving forward, considering she was in the majority. So it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and I think it's
– I was going to say – go ahead, Alex, and I have a question for you.
Okay. I think it's pretty glaring when, you know, I'm going and I'm finding some of the, like, new house guest Twitter accounts that are being run by family and friends and stuff like that, and I'm seeing what's going on there. And so I found Mark's, and I'm seeing, like, oh, I wonder if he's – you know, they've tweeted, like, good try, Mark, or anything about how he's been voted out, and nothing about that yet. But it is Mark's roommate running it, and the last thing tweeted was, like, go vote for Mark for the new power. And your first thought is like, oh, that's adorable. You know what I mean? Like, you have no shot. This is not fair. Of course it's not fair. You'd never, like,
Alex, did you see? Did you see Dylan? Like when Arissa announced the, she's like, "Yeah, so we have a twist," and Dylan's like, "Yeah, give it to me." I'm like, "Dude,
no, please." The boxing community came out in force. I just know it. I just know it.
All 200 of them. Yes, they all came. There's 200 of them, and maybe five voted. Sorry, Dylan. Nice guy. Yeah, but,
they're busy like fighting in an igloo somewhere. Somewhere in the frozen tundra, like the hardest place you guys have up there.
Yeah, up in Nunavut. That's
after ice fishing. Fighting.
That's where they're doing it. Way up north. Mitch, is this what twist is more powerful? This or Britney's coup d'état secret power from the have not room in Big Brother Canada 3?
I feel that this is. I mean, because the coup d'état. I mean, could she have used when could? She, what were the rules around when she could use that? I kind of forget.
She only used it. She could use it at the one eviction, I think, and that was it.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just a one instant thing. Like, obviously, it was a great opportunity for her, and it was like an amazing twist to help her game. But this is just like Netta just got how many of those? You know what I mean? Not that she can alter the game in the same way, but it just this is what I don't like these kinds of twists that change the game are interesting because then people have to learn how to play this with this new set of rules. Mm-hmm. But twists that literally, because I even find the twist that like ended up putting me out of the game more interesting because it actually just added this weird little element that was kind of fascinating that they could kind of watch. Yeah, it ended up sucking for me, but at least like bringing someone back is an element of the game that you can learn about and figure out, and I should have known like someone could come back. But this, I don't know. Maybe there'll be some interesting television from it and some interesting things to talk about strategy-wise as we go forward. But it just feels like, oh yeah, you just like gave someone like this weird power and made it so easy for them compared to altering the structure of the game, which I actually just think is more interesting because then everyone's trying to be like, how do we deal with this?
What do you think is more likely to happen, Mitch? Do you think we're going to see there's more of a chance that Netta kind of overplays things and goes like super hard now that she's safe? Or do you think she's going to just chill and do nothing and just go to sleep for like 4 weeks?
I don't think she'll chill. I mean, she's a good player and I think she's smart. It's her time to really establish her base before it gets to the point when she can't use this anymore. Like the opportunity now is to like, that is the objective in this game is like assimilate power first and then like abuse it. You know what I mean? So you have to take time. It takes time to establish relationships, show people you can vote with them and that you're not lying to them. She has no reason to lie to anyone now. So she will always be able to be honest. She can establish those relationships. And then when the time comes, she can have that sort of group around her that she says, like, look, I've been working with you this whole time. You know I have. I think that's, like, her best move. Whether she plays that really aggressively or not, I'm not sure. But I think that's the smarter way for her to play it. And that might mean being very open and candid about the way she is playing as to not seem sketchy to people.
All right.
We talked about it last night. And, like, the biggest thing here, it's just so key, like, how you can still vote, how different this is from the Big Brother 13 Golden Key thing that Dan and Yael Donato and Portia and them got. Because, I mean, you saw Netta's reaction when Arissa explained that part, too. It's huge. I mean, because the problem there was, like, they could kind of, like, discount those players. Like, nobody had to talk to those players strategically because they're removed from the game. Like, they don't even have a vote. So I mean, you can't do that with Netta. You have to still incorporate Netta into your plans when you're formulating who to nominate, who to target, that kind of thing, because she's still a vote. So she still gets the benefit of really being included in all the conversations, but she really has nothing to lose. I mean, she's playing with house money for the next few weeks. She can really like potentially try to gamble and shake some things up and really craft a like post-jury group that she's comfortable playing with for the long phase.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Anything we want to talk about from the episode before we jump into the live feeds? Mitch, anything you want to add?
I mean, I guess I'll only just add that it feels like for whoever's in her alliance, it's a huge advantage as well, because in terms of like people wanting to win veto to take other people off, like now the alliance as a whole can be more safe and strategize around that. Like Netta doesn't need to ever win the veto if she can give it to someone else, like in the case that a challenge would allow her to help her teammate, because they already have somebody else who's protected. So yeah, I mean, like, there might be some stuff that's interesting that comes to watch from it, guys, with that element, but I hate it. I hate it.
Soon you will accept it, Mitch. Soon. Give it time.
I was
one more year. I was in your spot a year ago. And then I was like, okay, just like, this is it. We're just dealing with it.
Jordan, what'd you think about Bruno's first guess in the veto? The win a dog cave? Almost. Keep trying, bud. You're getting there.
I love
trial and error. Trial and error.
I just love Bruno. Just seeing him on the show. I know he is so happy to be in there, and just seeing him in the hot tub with Kevin, I was just like, man, that was Bruno's spot on my season. So I'm super stoked to see Bruno. We'll talk more about him when we get to the live feeds here. But this is your warning. If you do not want to be spoiled on what's going down in 1HOH, what's happening on the live feeds, now is your time to bounce out. There really isn't a lot happening though, so just stick around. I mean, it's, you know, I say this every time, but seriously, if you're not somebody who watches feeds, if you're a regular Big Brother watcher, you watch the episodes, you don't watch feeds, you don't keep up with spoilers, come to the dark side. It's so much more fun keeping up to everything. You can listen to all these podcasts instead of it being half an hour. You know, you listen for like an hour, it covers your whole commute. Just do it. It's way more fun, especially on this season with the people we have on this cast. Feeds are going to be so fun. All right, before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
But anyway, enough rambling. Let's get into what is happening on the feed. Sorry, Taryn, who has won head of household?
Dimitri has won head of household.
Oh, yeah. Baby.
Dimitri. You'd think based on the episode, man, Cass, what a smart move. She's really got Dimitri in her back pocket. She's really running the house right now. No, Cass is on the outs. Cass is very, very in trouble.
Talk about what's going on, Taryn. What's happening?
Yes. Yeah, so apparently according to Ika, was the one that flipped the vote very, very last minute. Kevin and Bruno were not in on it, but they are coming up with a lie to say that they were in on it and that they were just voting Dimitri out in order to confuse people to make it seem like they weren't working with the other vets.
Old Spencer and Howard move.
Yes, apparently there was some drama between Mark and Cass, and Cass has talked about wanting to backdoor Netta and talking about wanting to backdoor Bruno. And so she is in a lot of trouble, but she apparently does have a good enough relationship with Dimitri that Ika does not think that she can get Dimitri to nominate Cass, even though basically everyone wants her to, or wants him to. Basically, Cass is the number one target of the vets, all of the vets except for Gary and Dallas. Dallas is not with Bruno and Kevin. He is with Cass. They are seeing him as somebody that's untrustworthy. Karen talked about him playing both sides. So Dallas is not in a great spot right now. He could potentially be somebody that goes this week if things don't go well. But right now it looks like the target is going to be Dylan, the one that Dimitri started the fight with, which is interesting considering Cass is the one that made him start the fight with him. And now Cass doesn't want Dylan to go. So it's looking like Dylan and potentially Emily will be going up on the block. At least right now, at least according to Ika, Ika seems to be the one who's pulling the most strings at the moment.
Okay, wow. So,
well, that's the problem with starting a public fight, right? Is that then if you win power, if you don't put that person up, now you're a liar. You know what I mean? You paint yourself in a corner there.
So, Alex, this is interesting then. Now we're thinking Ika is running the show. Have you been seeing have we been seeing anything else with Ika, or is this just based off of one conversation that Terrence's talking about?
No, Ika's putting in a lot of legwork. She's kind of she's doing a lot. A lot of people want to work with her right now. I think, you know, based on her position right now, she's in like the position you want to be in weeks from now. I think maybe she's out of the gate a little too hot, really wanting to like make up for her last time. And I don't know if this is going to last long term, but right now, I mean, it seems good. It seems like she's going to Dimitri with, you know, Gary and with Cindy and people and convincing him that, you know, Cass wasn't the one that had his back, and he's telling them that they're safe this week. So I think, you know, it's possible Ika has more pull with Dimitri's at this point than Cassandra does. Either way, I mean, she's definitely good short term. And I mean, you know, it looks like the people he's planning on targeting are closer to Cass than they are to Ika or Cindy or Netta, who are all talking about needing Cass to go now.
Yeah, basically, Ika is in with almost everybody. She talked about like she is closer to Dimitri than Cass is. So she has pulled Dimitri away from Cass, apparently. Cass still trusts
Aika. She was talking to Aika about how she's upset that Netta won the fan favorite vote and that she thought she was going to win the fan favorite vote.
Wait, hold on. Cass is upset or Aika's upset?
Cass is upset.
Okay.
She thought she was more popular than Netta. She was hopeful.
So she is talking to Aika about like Netta doesn't like me. We need to go after Kevin and Bruno. Meanwhile, Aika is already talking about like we need to get rid of Cass. We need to reel in Kevin and Bruno. So Cass is really out on a limb, and she's already trusting the wrong people. She's got a lot of work to do if she wants to get out of this spot.
Wow. So lots going on here, Mitch. Already, I mean, the vets are at each other's throats. So what do we make of this already? I feel like the newbies are in a really good spot.
Yeah, and yet we're only talking about newbies going home, right?
I mean, like, yes, potentially. Like, so I don't get it. Why don't they just take the shot? I'm confused.
I mean, I guess it's because a newbie has – it's weird that all the newbies would just only put up newbies. I'll be interested to see if Cass actually is in hot water this week because Dimitri's head. But, yeah, it feels awfully similar to the beginning of our season with Cass and Dallas now, because Dallas was deemed untrustworthy because he was also trying to play the middle too hard, but it was really obvious – and people were just like, you're lying and you're telling people these things. And then even his vote, he fully lied about, but everyone's like, we can count. Like, we know you're lying. And then Cass was kind of the same, where everyone was like, okay, we see her going around, talking around people. Like, I don't know that she fully understands, especially with this group. Like, if you're going to say something, it's going to make its way around. And so when you say things, you have to say them in a certain way. And like, saying I want to backdoor Netta when you are not the HOH or you don't have a solid alliance, or saying you want to backdoor anyone, it's like, don't use those words ever unless you're like, oh, we're in our, like, we're 5 weeks in. We have such a solid alliance to four. I could tell you guys this, and I'm HOH. So that's my, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just so surprised that she would go that hard, that fast. And even like, you can't trust anyone yet. It's so early.
Yeah, go ahead, Taryn.
I think it's unsurprising, somewhat unsurprising, that the two most recent players are, in fact, sort of replicating the games that they played last season. They have had the least amount of time to reflect. I mean, this is exactly Cass. You know, week two, I think, in Big Brother Canada 4, she's insulting the HOH to their face. Or week three, maybe. Right as they win HOH. Like, this is kind of par for the course for Cass, and it's also kind of par for the course for Dallas to try and play the middle a little to kind of get caught up in something and not know how to get out of it. I think Dallas will probably be okay. I don't know if people are going to spend the energy to try to get him out. He's definitely in trouble right now, though, because they're concerned that they don't have the pull with Dimitri to get Cass out. So if somebody like Dylan comes off the block, they may decide, you know what, Dallas is a good enough replacement. He's close to Cass. That's a good way to strike at Cass without being able to actually strike at Cass. But I think if he survives this week, he probably has enough just like non-threateningness to weasel his way back in somewhere. But
I think hardest thing for Dallas is that he's not super strategically social. Like, he might be, people can laugh at him and have fun with him, but I don't know that he's able to, other than just saying like, straight up, man, I won't vote you out. Like, let's work together. But that, like, he can't talk enough to make you feel like you believe him. And I think that's going to be the harder thing for him, is if he's not in with people. He might be being honest, but I think he's not able to, like, articulate himself in the same way to have them, you know, to woo people around him.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think he kind of, you know, is just kind of going through it the way most people would go through if they weren't playing a game, you know, where it's like he finds the people he likes and then he spends a lot of time with them. And in life, like, that's fine. But in Survivor and Big Brother, in any of these games, I caught myself.
Good job,
Kim. In any of these social strategy games, that translates to a game decision to basically put all your eggs in a minority alliance because you're spending all your time with your few friends. And I think, you know, we saw that last season when he was kind of isolated at times with Maddie, with Ramsey, with LaVita, with the people he'd liked. And then, you know, and he wasn't even like talking to Jared or other people and like finding even like, you have to be able to work with everybody. I think that's a big piece of this game, is that not burning any bridges, being able to cross some of them. And Dallas is bad at that. And then this season, it seems like, at least from what I'm seeing so far on feeds, very close with Dylan, very close with Emily. And, you know, that is kind of like the group that seems to be in trouble right now. So he's in a tough spot where it seems like he's now spent a lot of time with people who can't really help him in the game.
Yeah, so, something that we saw when we were jumping on this call was Cass was in a conversation with Kevin,
yes,
where she was talking about how she kind of felt kind of like a little bit betrayed by Kevin because he didn't really back her up when Mark came at her and he voted to keep Mark. And Kevin was trying to be like, listen, Cass, we can't be against each other. We need to work with each other. We need each other. But it really wasn't getting through to Cass. And then afterward, obviously now Cass is very, very gung-ho about we need to target Bruno. We need to target Kevin. And this is really reminding me of you, Mitch, actually, when like I feel like you would keep trying to be like, Cass, we need each other. We need to work together. But she never really like took to it. Do you have any insight on that?
I mean, yeah, Cass is like a really interesting person. And she's just like unique and quirky, and it's difficult to read her. And in the house, I would have been happy to work with her, but I could never get like a real connection that didn't feel a little bit fluffy or fake, even if she was at times being real. I'm sure Kevin's having that same feeling of like, I'm talking to you and we're saying all the right things, but it's not really like clicking, you know? And that's the weird thing on the outside people don't always see is that like so much of these games, and I can only assume a game like Survivor is the same, it's moves and you wonder why they didn't do something else, but it's like so much of it is based on the way you feel and who you think you can just trust based on your interactions with them, because you can feel a lot. Like, it is so weird. I sat in that house for like 3 or 4 weeks and probably said like 10 words to Dallas in those first 4 weeks. And then it was not until like the last couple of weeks where we were both there that we actually had a few more conversations. And you're like, you're living with this person 24/7 a day and you actually just don't talk to them. It's because you get vibes from people. Not that we like hated each other by any means, but you just know like, yeah, we just don't like click for whatever reason. And that is a big barrier to cross. You can't just say like, I trust you. We're an alliance. Yay. All good. It's like, well, is that real? I don't know.
Yeah, totally, man. That's it's so funny that there are certain people. I think it happened. I mean, I feel the same thing. Like on my season, there were people like that. I think every season there are a few people like that where it on paper it makes sense, but just like something just doesn't click. It's like, what? I don't know. It's just very.
And for some reason, Cass comes across like really amazing on TV because she's like hilarious in the DR and she's not afraid to like do stuff on camera. Mm-hmm. But then when you're there, it doesn't come across the same way. Like, it's a little – I don't know how to describe it, but
– Yeah, no, it's funny, Mitch, because it was the same thing I found on Big Brother – I mean, not so much with me, but I think a lot of people found this on Big Brother Canada 3 with Kevin. I think that a lot of people in the house didn't click with Kevin. It seemed like on paper they could work with him, but they just couldn't, like, get a build a genuine bond with him. But then on the show, everyone was like, oh, Kevin's so – great. Like, all the fans loved Kevin. Yeah. So it's weird. I wonder what I would love to see someone do, like, a case study on that and figure out what the, you know, what the traits are that cause this to be a thing.
Well, I think it's, yeah. I think it's universal. I don't think there's anyone. I think that's just a part of life. You know, I mean, I think like, if you look at like, you know, for example, I know this is Canada and I'm kind of really breaking here, but like every president in U.S. history has like, no one ever has an approval rating of like 80. You know what I mean? Like, no matter what they ever do, like 20% of people are like, this guy sucks. You know what I mean? Like, so I think that's just an element of being human, is that like, some people are just naturally inclined to dislike other personalities. And I think that's a big piece of why these games are so fascinating, is that it's very hard. Like, what is the personality that can truly be a chameleon and get everyone to find some common ground with every type of person? I mean, it does seem very, very difficult.
Dan Gieseling.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Dan Gieseling.
Right. So then when we see it, we talk about it like it's like a unicorn or something, because I do think it's very difficult in life and in these games.
So Dan Gieseling is a unicorn. Breaking news from Alex.
Well, I was thinking Dr. Will when I said unicorn, but.
Okay, you know, well, Dan Dr. Will too. Can. Sure, Dr. Dan Will can be too. A unicorn. There's two unicorns. There we go.
it can only be one.
It got weird.
Alex, I want to ask you, what are the alliances? You know, we see Ika is working with a lot of people right now. Are there any, like, what are the clear alliances that we can see from the little bit of feeds that have been opened so far?
I mean, it definitely seems like your buddies Kevin and Bruno are pretty tight, and I think
Chop Shop 2.0, they almost did.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ginger Ninja is climbing that wall as we speak so he can get in the action. And then, I mean, I think it looks like Cindy is really running a lot of information to them. I don't know if Cindy's more loyal to them or to Ika, but her and Ika are definitely very close, and she's keeping Kevin and Bruno in the loop. Netta, obviously. It's interesting. I think we're already seeing some examples of how Netta is playing differently because of this you know, because she's won this thing. Yeah, because of this twist. Because she's like, she's saying stuff like, I don't even want to talk to Cassandra. Like, I'm annoyed that I have to deal with this. And Aika's like trying to convince her why she should like fake it. It's like, you know, if Netta was potentially at risk of ever being nominated, like, she wouldn't say that. She would be very capable. We know Netta's capable of faking a smile with people. I mean, that's what she's known for. But, you know, it's interesting that now that she doesn't have to, it's like, well, I can't be bothered to want to do it, you know? So I think that is a way that that twist could potentially hurt her game without her necessarily realizing it. Cassandra is trying to do damage control with the with Aika and Netta. I mean, she's saying, like, we're the three strongest women in Big Brother Canada history. We have to stick together. And I think there's a point to be made there. But right before that, Aika just run up there before Cassandra to tell Netta about what Cassandra had said about how she thought she deserved the power that Netta won. And Netta thinks that's pretty petty, which it kind of is. So,
of course, yeah,
that probably undoes everything Cassandra just came up there to do before it ever got started. So it's it's rough. It's rough for Cassandra, I think. Yeah. I mean, like Taryn said, the fact that maybe Aika believes, which, you know, based on the limited information we have, I guess we're inclined to believe that maybe Dimitri's wouldn't be willing to put up Cassandra. That might be her only saving grace this week.
I'm super fascinated to see how this Netta versus Cass thing is going to turn out. Yeah, clearly there's going to be more tension this season. It's just going to continue to grow, I think, until one of them gets voted out. Mitch, I want to ask you quickly before we get into the questions, thoughts on the season 3 alliance that is forming. Do you think that the vets are going to get worried that the menage a trois or chop shop 2.0, whatever this becomes, do you think that's going to be a thing? Because if I was in there and I saw, hey, there are three or four people or whatever, the most people are from X season, I'd probably want to go after them first before other people.
Yeah, you'd be a bit worried. I mean, that goes back to like the feelings you have, and those feelings can be based on relationships. When you know someone from the past, I mean, I don't think any of them have like bad blood between the three of them, right?
No.
So they probably feel like they have a warmth to each other just because of like, cool, we're like familiar with each other. We know how we live. We know how we act. I could definitely see the others. And because these like returnees, these vets, I think they all want to play really hard. I think that they will be shifting and morphing. I just have this feeling like these alliances won't really hold strong for that long.
Voting blocks, Mitch, is that what we're going to see?
I think, but I guess I'm not sure that voting blocks can work as well in Big Brother or not. Well, yet to see, but yeah, it just feels like it already. I mean, Cindy voted on the opposite side of them, and whether or not it sounded like from the live feeds that I saw, like she had lied to them just moments before she voted, yeah. like they didn't want to tell them that they were switching votes. So surely now there's like a bit of distrust and bad blood between those three, and however far that carries, we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, you'd be worried about it, but it's hard to know if people will specifically hone in on those three over
anyone
another
else.
Group that will maybe form as a true alliance.
That's a trust cluster, Jordan. They can vote with separate voting blocks, but then come back together as a trust cluster.
Got it. Yeah. Okay.
I can't be sure, but I think I heard Cindy say that she told Kevin like right before the vote, because she was sitting next to him, maybe that the vote that she was had switched her vote potentially. But I think she found out very late. So she was telling Kevin and Bruno, like, I'm sorry, guys. It happened so quickly. Mm-hmm.
And I think it happened late. Like, we have no time. We have no like knowledge of how close the eviction had actually happened. I mean, we had no feeds, but you know, I did. When Cassandra went up there and she's trying to do some damage control, the first thing Netta says is like, I need to know before, like longer before the vote next time. That was too stressful for me. So I think that's probably a factor here is we don't know how close this happened before eviction time, but it might've been right before.
Do we know why did this flip again? Just to remind me, does anyone remember?
Certainly the narrative on the episode was Cassandra put her foot down.
Yeah. That's why? Cause Cass and Gary.
It seems as though, based on what Aika is saying, that Aika was, in fact, the person that decided, you know what? I have more control over Dimitri than Cass does. Therefore, I want to keep Dimitri.
Okay.
She told Dre to change her vote, and Dre did so. Apparently, Aika is close enough to Dre that she could make that happen. And so Aika sort of at the last minute decided, yeah, we're keeping Dimitri. We're flipping this vote. She was like, guys, I promise I've got this on lock. I've got Dimitri. We've got this. It seems like Aika and Netta are like a tight pair.
Yes.
Kevin and Bruno, a tight pair. We've got Cindy kind of in the middle of those two pairs. Aika also has Dimitri and Dre.
They seem, Aika seems very, very close with Dre. And so Aika really seems to be at the center of a lot of things. I don't think that's great for her because it's way too early to be at the center of so many things. But I think Netta right now is really happy because Aika is running around doing a bunch of work for her. And Netta is sitting back. Like, this is exactly like what they were doing in the beginning of season two, only unsuccessfully. This time they're doing it successfully. So I feel like Netta is in an even better position. Plus she's immune until Jury. So things are looking very great for Netta at the moment.
Absolutely. Mitch, you have time for a couple questions?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm in the rush.
Okay, let's do it then. Let's take this first question from friend of the show, Mike Bloom, at a Mike Bloom type. Mike says, please power rank BB Can first HOHs on an entertainment level. Hashtag happy hour. So Mitch, in terms of entertainment in BB Can history, which HOH was most entertaining to least entertaining? I guess from season one, we have Suzette Amaya. Season two, my boy Poppin' Paul Jackson. Season three, technically there wasn't, well, Bobby, I guess, would be the first HOH technically, because week one we didn't have one. Right. Week four, or season four, sorry, we had Levita, and then season five we have Mama Karen. So or maybe an easier question, who's most entertaining of those that you found?
Oh gosh, I mean, it's hard to evaluate my own season just because I was in it, and it was not that entertaining when you're in it. You're just kind of like, Levita, I love Levita, but at the time it was like, oh my god, I think, like, she's on another level sometimes. But yeah, I feel like all this, it's so many good candidates. Like, both,
they're all
both
good.
Pop and Paul and Suzette both had some pretty intense weeks as well. I mean, one of the more stable, even though she was like jumping all around, it seems like she actually, like, nothing has been backfiring on her. So I guess my vote to win is Pop and Paul.
Pop and Paul. I'm also on the Pop and Paul train. Alex, are you on that train?
Yeah, I think I have to put Paul one. I think it gets interesting after Paul, potentially.
So who would you have after that, Taryn?
It's okay. This is the definitive ranking right
now.
Got
it. Okay.
It's Paul, Karen, Suzette, Levita, Bobby.
Okay. I might switch Suzette and Levita, but that's the only issue.
Yeah, I think I would switch Suzette and Levita as well. I thought Levita was super entertaining.
I think Levita was great after week one. I think her week one HOH was one of her weaker in terms of entertainment.
I think if we had had feeds for week one, that one would have definitely gotten a bump.
That is the that is one thing I will say that I have
only
not.
Only Mitch could tell us what happened that week that Paige Dostransky was lost.
Yeah, like that's the one thing, Mitch. I said I'm preaching acceptance. This is the one thing I'm not accepting. Week one, please. Let's just give it to us. Mm-hmm. Why can't we have it?
I forgot to rant about this because it's like, I don't understand why we miss an entire week of feeds, and this is also the week that we get the least amount of, like, footage from the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, 3/4 of the episode last night was introduction. We got like a small, we got nothing basically. We got the beginning of a competition, or we got a whole competition, whatever it was. We got like no footage from the actual week. So basically we fit an entire week into one episode, and we saw none of, that's the one episode that we see no live feeds from. It makes no sense. And it felt so rushed. And like, even the editing was just like, all over the place. It was like the ending of the episode was just like, oh, it just ended. Oh, I didn't even like, I just like, either give us feeds or like edit this into something a little more easy to follow, because this is the most important week of the entire season. There's many things going on.
And can you imagine if someone like Netta did go home and then, like, just,
right? The fans would have gone nuts. Livid. Could you imagine, Mitch, if everyone voted for Netta for the twist and then she's out before she even gets it? I mean, it would have been, they would have burned down Twitter. It would have been terrible.
Yeah. And we wouldn't have found out why either. We wouldn't have seen any reason as to why she was gone.
No. So,
okay.
Because for me, Mitch, like, there must be so many things from season four that we missed from with the lack of feeds. Because the best moments of the season, I felt like, were that first week for us. Would you feel similarly about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot going on. Like, definitely, it's a hectic. I don't know that it certainly wasn't the craziest week, but I think, yeah, I can. You're in there and you're like, oh man, like, people are missing this stuff at home. Like, there were fights that were never aired. There was like issues that went on because, I mean, that's when Dallas was like called out for, and Ramsey were called out for being on different sides and lying about things. So, I mean, it felt like There's definitely a lot going on. I don't know how practically they could start the feeds earlier, though, right? Without, like, they need their lead time to make each episode.
Yeah, I would say here's the solution. Just do the Big Brother US way of doing it. So do the premiere on the Wednesday, where you just introduce everyone, and don't even show the HOH. Don't even really show anything. Maybe the start of the HOH, okay? And then we'll just do that. And then on the Thursday, then show us the nominations, and then, or, you know, show us the nominations. Yeah, let's just chill. Let's get to know these people, see the dynamic. Because I'm sure a lot of stuff is going down. And then the next week on the Monday, then we'll get the veto. Then Wednesday, you know, or I don't know. Just figure something. That's all whack.
Make the first week 2 weeks is what Big Brother US does.
Yeah, make the first week 2 weeks. So it's 15 days. So that way, if you're the first one out, if you're Mark, at least, hey, you got 15 days in the BB can house. You know,
and I mean, it was like particularly bad on your season because Canada had to vote on people on one night.
Yeah. One night. One night. And we thought we were like, oh, well, they clearly know, like, they know that, Risha has been doing all this stuff and they've seen all this. No,
it was on nothing.
There was nothing. Peely still won that. So,
and it's also like, even just looking at this one, the feeds are coming in and like immediately we're seeing Aika and Netta trash talking Cass, right? And so people are like, whoa, people love Cass. Mm-hmm. They're like, what's going on here? But if the feeds had started like a few days earlier, perhaps
maybe we
Cass
know.
Would be the one that's getting the backlash because Cass was the one who theoretically, according to them, threw the first stone. They'd be like, whoa, Cass, why are you going after Netta? Why are you doing this? Like even just in terms of like fan perspective, which is important in Big Brother Canada, we're missing out on a lot of things and it's altering the way that we see things.
Or if they just waited until tonight to start the voting for this like twist power and everyone's bashing Cass, maybe all of a sudden she does win the thing. Yeah, I mean, it changes a lot.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely. Let's take this next question. It's from at Mr. Robot Taren. Mr. Robot Taren asks, did RHAP, Rahappy Hour, and Reddit ruin Netta's game? They've been talking up Netta for years, and everyone knows how good she can be. What do you think about that, Mitch?
Well, ruin her game. I think it's like it's too early to know now. Like I said, I don't think this will be the determining factor in her like losing if she makes it to the final. But it might be. I mean, I can definitely see her using it as a reason to say like, take me to the final because no one's going to vote for me because I got carried halfway through this game. But it definitely is going to have an impact on her game, whether for better or worse. And as much as if I was there, yeah, I want to be safe. I'd rather be there than go home, and she probably feels the same way. I would also, honestly, much rather, for a second time, just get to play and see what I can actually do. Because for the rest of her life, even if she wins, it's going to be, well, you did win, but you had that thing. You know what I mean? Like the
people
same
are always going to point to that. Yeah, and
yeah,
I think
in the same way that I think that happens to Sarah, I think that happens to Jillian. It's like they won. It doesn't matter, but they still kind of get the like, oh, but you have that thing. Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think that's not a nice feeling to have, and you'd rather just win it and be like, yeah, I won, and you can't really dispute it.
Absolutely, and I think with Netta too, she's somebody who is not a person who is just going to – if she wins, I think she wants people to remember her as – she said it in her interviews, I want to be remembered as one of the greatest players that ever played this game. And if she wins with the help of this twist, then, yeah, she's always going to have that, which is unfortunate. But you know what? I mean, if Netta wins, I think she'll be happy. That'll be good enough. But definitely something to think about.
It takes away some of the polish, right, or the shine of the play. Like, could you imagine if on Big Brother All Stars, Dr. Will doesn't start playing until about halfway in? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
That's the potential to see Netta come back and play the full game. It's unfortunate that this had to happen. In terms of us like ruining her game, I have like profusely apologized to Netta like every time that we talk her game up. I also apologize to Mitch every time I talk his game up. I do feel like it's definitely a disadvantage to them in future seasons. But at the same time, you know, she just got this power because of how popular she is. I think she would have been that popular without us. So we were probably all negative. But you know, what are we gonna do? It's our job.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. If people want to assign that much power to us, I mean, I'll take it. I mean, we ruined Big Brother over the top too, right? So sure, we ruined this game as well.
Oh, please, no more OTT talk. That's banned on this podcast. We're not talking about that season anymore. Let's take this next one. This one's from Walt Reed. Walt Reed says, "Y'all talk about BB Can four people making the same mistakes. Mitch, if you were on this season, what would you have done differently?"
Than my previous season? I mean, I've thought about that actually, because I'm like, I don't know. Here's the thing that I've learned from my first season. I liked to think that I was, okay, I'm playing logically. I'm trying to play and work with people who I know I actually am a benefit to their game. And so I don't have to go around lying necessarily. I can speak to them logically and say, like, here's why we should work together. And it makes sense to do the thing that I want because you should also want it. But what you realize pretty quickly, especially with newbies, maybe it wouldn't be the case with the vets, is that, like, not everyone in there can actually see what is best for their game. And I know that sounds really, like, narcissistic, but, like, there were people at times when you're just like, I'm not trying to trick you. Like, I actually genuinely believe this is the better decision for you to make.
It must be maddening.
And even, like, even the brothers, for example, like, there was a time when I was just like, just look. Like, and yeah, Raoul was a perfect example. Like, I literally was never going, like, I would go to the end with you because I would beat you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, I think going in again, I would probably be more aware that I can't just rely on that as a strategy because it would work on me. If someone had that strategy on me, it would work, but it doesn't work on the wide variety of people that are casting the show. And so the sooner you can be aware of that, the better you can be at predicting other things that are going to happen for people who don't behave like myself or other people.
Right.
Jordan also has experience with that.
Yes, I totally do. Absolutely have experience with that. Mind you, I wasn't saying, like, please save me. And then I didn't know I was getting voted out. Like, I'm sure even if I knew I was getting voted out and I was like, yo, like, you know, Cindy, maybe don't vote me out. I still don't think that would have worked. Maybe, who knows? That was just as much my fault though, too. That's a long story. We'll save that for another podcast. But I will save this. We're saving it for another podcast. We're talking BB Camp 5. Come on.
No, I just mean that podcast is never coming.
One day, mark my words, we'll get the Jordan Parhar retrospective.
Interview
you guys, can interview me, how about that? We'll
put
do
it on the table. I like it.
Okay, we'll do that. That'll be fun. That actually would be fun. I will enjoy
grill
that.
You, Jordan.
Oh, I can't wait. It'll be great. But no, Mitch, from my perspective, I would say totally, like, that's a huge thing, is that I think you kind of have to meet people where they're at and understanding where people are at. But I think if you were to play with returning players, I think most of them would be able to figure out where you're coming from when you're offering these sorts of deals. I think that's probably more of a newbie season thing. That's just my feeling on it. I don't know.
I think so. But, like, I would think if both, like, even if, like, the brothers and Raoul were back on a season again, I don't know if they would. You know what I mean? We're talking about how people don't change, right?
Like, yeah, that's fair.
It's hard
that's
for
fair.
People to change. So, I mean, there are a lot of alumni on this season that I do agree, like, they're there because they can think logically. Even on the feeds I was watching Netta be like, you know, what's the next logical step, like, how do we talk to these people? And it's like, yeah, you can work with people like that because you're actually on the same page, but there's certainly other people that could be brought back that would be harder to do that with, I think.
Absolutely. Let's take one last question before we wind things down, and I actually lost it. Let's see if I can find it. This one was from Jeremiah Yap. Jeremiah asks, Mitch, which of your fellow house guests from season 4 do you think will make it farther this season, Cassandra or Dallas?
Oh, actually, that's actually tricky. My instinct was like, oh, well, now I think Dallas. But as you guys said, like, if Cass is an option for Dimitri, then Dallas might actually be that backup, like, backdoor option. So I don't know. My prediction was that Cass would have a tough time. If she can get her footing for a little bit, I think, and the game can shake up a little bit more, she might be able to go far again. But it's not looking good for her. And knowing how her first half game before was the last time around, I think she won't make it as far. I think Dallas will be able to kind of go under the radar and just become a soldier for somebody else if he can realize, like, that's what he needs to be right now.
All right. And Mitch, I'm going to try to do this. I'm probably going to forget, but I want to try to do this every week that I can. I want to get your winner pick. Who is going to win this season right now, based on what we know?
Oh, my gosh.
Taryn, quick, save Mitch. So, you can go first and let Mitch think.
I need a missile list.
I think it's Netta. I feel like Netta has the most advantages going for her right now.
Alex, how do you feel?
I feel like it's going to – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go, Mitch. You go. Yeah. You're ready. I wanted to give you time. If you're ready, go.
I think it's going to be a newbie, to be honest. I think there'll be a point at which – I just think – I have this feeling that there'll be one or two newbies who can figure this out and use the vets, and then the vets will fully go ballistic on each other, and then a newbie will be able to, like, manipulate that. But I've yet to see which one is smart enough to do it. I just have a feeling.
Newbies for Mitch. Okay, Alex, what do you think?
Well, I mean, I kind of called Bruno preseason, and I don't think I've seen anything to necessarily support that, but I haven't seen anything that really discourages it either. So I'll just stick with that.
Okay, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb. Because if I call this, this is going to be so great. So I'm going to say it right now. Cindy is going to win this season. I'm going to jump on the Brent train.
Cindy's going to win. I think that's really possible. Like, I think it's possible.
Yep. She looked so good on the episode. I was so impressed. Yes. I was like, wow, this is a new person. I mean, maybe it's hard to say because this is an edited version of Cindy. Yeah. And we'll see with the live feeds. But super impressed with that. I'm super impressed with her position. I don't think anybody's going to go after her. I think she's in a good spot with the newbies. She's in a good spot with the vets. Why would you get rid of Cindy? So I'm going to say Cindy's going to win this season, and we'll see what happens. But I really, really like what I've seen so far. Still very early, but color me impressed. I like what she's doing. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Happy Hour. Thank you so much to everybody who was watching us live. We had a decent turnout here in the chat. So appreciate you guys coming on and watching with us. Mitch, we appreciate you taking some time out of your busy schedule to come on and chat with us. What do you have coming up going on? It's new stuff with ASAP Science. I know you moved to your new house. So congratulations on that.
Yeah. There's some, I feel like there's always, this is the thing we always say, is like there's some stuff that's kind of secretive in the works, but nothing crazy right now. Just more of the same. I was telling Alex we'll be in LA next week, so just lots of traveling and work stuff, but hopefully things that actually come to fruition one day, you know, all those sorts of things that you're like, hopefully this will be a thing. I hate saying things before they happen because I just hate when people talk about things that are going to happen and then they never happen.
Yeah.
Mitch, you're doing great with everything you're doing. You can find Mitch on Twitter. He's at Mitchell Moffitt. You can, of course, find him on YouTube as well, ASAP Science. You got ASAP Thought as well. You have any other YouTube channels that I don't know about?
None that I want you to see.
I think it was this one was on ASAP Thought. The one video that you guys made about what to do if there is a nuclear war, if nuclear warfare breaks out. That was great. I really liked that. I was like, oh wow, I really am not prepared for this. So I bought a radio and everything. So good. So thank you, Mitch. I appreciate it.
Glad to have been of use.
Alex Kidwell, any final thoughts?
Man, it'll be interesting. We so much to break down already after like 15 minutes of feed. So we can only speculate at what we'll be talking about the next time we get together, which will be in person, won't it?
Yes, Monday, Tuesday, the 20th, I want to say, is when we're getting together. Yeah, so Tuesday the 21st, we will be getting together in New York. Taryn, you'll be there too. You must be pretty excited, right?
Of course. I'm always excited to talk in person.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm very pumped. Are we going to do rock, paper, scissors for who takes care of Alex this time? Is it going to be you or is it going to be me? Brent's not here, so Brent can't.
Nobody needs to take care of Alex. Alex can take care of himself. Thank you.
I mean, I feel like we're already at a disadvantage because there's less of us this time. Maybe we can get Lita to help out.
True. Maybe
he's going to be there.
Maybe the new thing is maybe I will be. I'll play the role of Alex, and I'll let.
I was going to say, Jordan. I hope you get messed up, and then I can laugh at you and just laugh and laugh. It'll be great. And
we'll
Snapchat it. I'll Snapchat it too. How about that?
Stay tuned. You can follow Alex on Snapchat. What is that? Is it A Kidwell something? What is it?
A Kidwell 87. Yeah, I don't know You can't change it, right? You just have to like start over. Yeah.
Start
all right.
Over. Well, I started over. It's so terrible. Mine is Jordan Parhar. You can follow me there on Twitter and everything like that. But yes, Alex and Taryn are right. We will be in New York next week. So normally for the schedule for the Big Brother Canada 5 podcast is Rob will be live after the Monday episode. I will be live after the Wednesday episode and the Thursday episode. But because Rob is going to be traveling on Monday, there's no episode with him hosting on Monday after the episode. Instead, he'll be hosting an in-person episode in New York from Podcast House with Alex, Taryn, and myself. Might have some other guests there. So that should be a lot of fun. Also, we had a contest for people who wanted to come to see that taping of the show. Keep an eye on your email. If you get an email within the next 48 hours, you have won. I haven't had time to do the actual draw yet. So if you have, the deadline is done, you can't apply anymore. But if you have sent in an email, I have got those emails and I will be in touch with you very shortly to let you know if you'll be able to come to that taping of the podcast. So it should be a lot of fun. Also,
studio living room audience.
Yeah, should be really good. And don't forget to check out Rob's exit interview with Mark. Again, that'll be dropping tomorrow morning at some point on Reality TV Rehapup. So robiswebsite.com/rehapups if you want to get that show and subscribe to it. You can subscribe to that and you can get this every episode of the Rehappy Hour as well. Okay, guys, I guess we need a hashtag for this episode. Is do you guys have any ideas for a hashtag? Anything we talked about? Maybe Dimitri with an S.
That's already his name. Oh, I see what you're saying. Never mind. That took me a second.
Okay, well, I think that does it then, right? Dimitri with an S. Let's
all right.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
So well, me.
Okay. All right. Well, that is going to do it. Don't forget to follow Alex on Twitter. He's at Alex Kidwell. Taryn is at Armstrong Taryn. Again, we'll be in New York next week. Brent and Melissa will be taking care of the shows on Wednesday and Thursday, so be on the lookout for that. Should be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to see what goes down on these live feeds. It's going to be a very exciting week two in the BB Can Five House. All right, guys, that is going to do it for Mitchell Moffitt, Taryn Armstrong, and Alex Kidwell. I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag Dimitri with an S. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the Reality TV Rehappy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.